Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Startup Dunedin podcast. I'm here today with Sophia and Matt, two members of the winning team from Startup Weekend 2019, Team Less. How's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah, really good.
Cool. You guys have recovered. You've had a couple of days since the weekend.
Yeah, it's been a busy few days, and yeah, still getting busy. So
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I took yesterday off. So didn't do any work yesterday. Yeah.
You need a big rest after the event. For anybody listening that doesn't know, Startup Weekends are 54-hour long events. So we get people like yourselves along on a Friday night, about 60 to 70 people in a room, and we tell them to start businesses. They've got 54 hours to work on that business. None of the ideas are conceived before that Friday night, so it's a pretty intense process to get to where you get to. In terms of the types of progress that teams can make, we'll talk about a little bit about that later on, obviously sharing a bit of Les's journey. But I'm curious, what was your personal motivations for getting involved with Startup Weekend? How did you hear about it, and why did you choose to jump in?
Well, I'm a fourth year commerce student, so I do a Bachelor of Commerce in Marketing and Management. Cool. So I guess like business is sort of my area that I love doing, and it's my passion. And I guess for startup, when I first saw it advertised, I saw it advertised on Facebook, and I think I saw people talking about it and stuff. I just wanted to get involved with like something new, and I think startup was a great opportunity for that. And it was like, I've never experienced something like that, so it's been so good. But yeah, it's very helped me grow as a person in business as well, and make so many new connections.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. And how about yourself, Matt?
Well, I heard about it on Tuesday because you turned up to Codecraft, another group that I'm part of. So I had tons of time to prepare. and then I signed up for it on the Thursday, and I saw, if I sign up for this, I'm not getting my money back because I'm within the 7-day refund policy. So I clicked the button and then, well, I'm going now. It was great fun. I had absolutely no time to prepare, but that kind of helped because I had no time to get nervous either or worry too much. I
mean, and it's a hard event to prepare for, right? You don't know what idea you're going to be working on. Mm. You don't know who's going to be in your team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went there basically just with the skills I have, and that's all anyone goes there with. So, it doesn't really matter. If you think you can't do something, you go there and do it anyway, and you might end up doing something you can't do. Mm. It's part of the fun.
100%, 100%. So on that note of the skills that you have, you're obviously wearing your technical lanyard, if you want to hold that up. what's your background? What do you do in your day-to-day?
Well, I've got a degree in information science, so not okay. The white lab coat computer science guys, although I did learn how to juggle. I graduated 98, I think it was. And I've been working in the industry just around town, doing IT stuff. Mm-hmm. So pretty much anything and everything IT. Nothing super amazing that would hit the papers. But, that's just the nature of IT work. It's what people need when they need it. Usually I get asked to do something when it's already on fire, so it's all fun. And Startup Weekend's kind of like that already. You come there, it's already on fire, and you're picking it up and make something out of it.
Awesome. And so for each of you, this was your first foray into the startup world, or have you guys been involved in startup before?
Not this one, no. I mean, I have a startup of my own. So I've kind of been through the whole process of invention and putting it out there, and I've got with my startup, it's running, it's a computer program because I'm IT, so it's running all over the world. It's a journey. So very similar to this sort of stuff. You take an idea, you run with it, you see what happens, you pick it up when it falls over, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And how about yourself?
For me, it's a little different. I actually started a company in 2015 that did really well. And we ended up at the New Zealand Innovator Awards against companies like Fonterra and Cookie Time.
Wow.
But then after, I say, like maybe a year, the team sort of dissolved because we went to tertiary studies. So we each went into our different areas of specialization.
So was that through Young Enterprise Scheme?
Yes, it was.
What was the company?
We were Kaike Energy. So we transformed food waste into biofuels and fertilizer. After that, I started studying, obviously, and then we entered Audacious for that same idea, but then the team dissolved again, and then sort of started looking for different ideas to start up a new startup company, and then I saw this opportunity. I was like, maybe I should join a team instead of pitching an idea and see where that leads me to. And it's been great because I found a really good team that works really well. And fantastic. Then we came up with this idea. So,
what was that team forming process like? Did you guys all meet each other on the Friday night, yep, this is us, or was there kind of people that joined later?
Oh, well, for me, it was, I joined in way later. So it was, I actually joined two teams prior to joining this team. So on the Friday night, I met a group of people that was doing like a property idea, but the group was way too big. There was like 10 of us. So the Saturday morning, we were told to split up. So we split up, and then we split up to a more tenant side versus real estate. And then within that sort of day, around 4 p.m., I was like, I don't know if this is working for me. Maybe I should look for another team. So I walked over to a random table, which, funnily enough, were these guys. I was like, hey, guys, can I join your team? And then, yeah, they were so welcoming. And
the rest is history.
I'm so glad, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was good. And, you know, on the Friday night, yeah, we had all the pitches. I thought about giving a pitch, but I had a couple of ideas, but I wasn't that keen on being up front. So I sort of let that go. And as a consequence of that, all of the pitches that were given, I didn't really click with any of them. And some of them, you know, I could see the technical reasons why they'd never work. So I couldn't really sign up with those, because then I'd just be trying to solve a problem that would never work and be a disaster. And ultimately, I was worried that I'd be basically the satellite in the room that never settles.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of stopped at a table. And I got lucky. I mean, apart from we won. But the idea grew on me that our group was about. And it didn't have any nasty technical fishhooks. Like, it was just never going to work. Because our whole premise was that our product was super simple. So, yeah, and I was talking to someone after the event, and I've got a mentor, and he said the simple ideas always win. So, yeah, it was really good.
There you go. There you go. So you guys didn't only come first, win Startup Weekend. You also got the People's Choice Award. It was the most votes in that room on the Sunday night. Another award that you got, which was obviously in the gag gifts, were was the magnifying glass for the most focused team over the weekend.
Oh, those prizes were hilarious.
Oh, we're gonna frame that and put it in our office. Like,
awesome! That's exactly what I want to hear. It'd be a good memento. on that note of being focused, do you think there was a particular reason or something about your team that allowed you to do that, or were there moments where you felt like the team was apart? What was that like?
I think most of the time we were all focused. We knew what we were doing. Every couple of hours we would check up on everyone, make sure they've got a clear idea of what they're doing, what the goal is at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone just bounced off each other, so the energy was quite high, and we were just having a good time as well. Like, it was so fun.
Mm. And at first, you know, we had this great idea, but we didn't really have a product. Mm-hmm. And then, thank goodness we have the internet. We were able to come up with a product pretty quickly with a bit of research.
Sure.
We did our market research on the internet too, as well as going out and seeing people and stuff. I've forgotten the question.
That's all right. Well, let's riff off of the chat on market validation.
Yeah.
So you said you went out and spoke to some people. What was that process like for Less during the weekend?
Well, we split up. We didn't all go out like some of the teams did. Mm. I mean, I was doing the technical stuff, so I sort of missed that part. Mm-hmm. And actually, another thing I wanted to mention was the whole thing about pivoting, you know, changing your ideas, and how we stayed focused and we didn't do that. I kind of missed out on that whole experience. I'm going to have to come back.
And that's something that people do. We have repeat people that come back to Startup Weekend every year because it's a whole lot of fun, like you said. And I think you guys are really lucky because the degree to which people enjoy Startup Weekend seems to be determined by the people that they end up with.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but to get back on track, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this to you constantly.
No, that's right. We've got time.
We did approach some businesses. We approached Taste Nature, and they were very interested. In fact, we've got to go back to them and either have a demo for them or say, we've got more work to do, which is true, we've got more work to do. So we've got to sort of revisit a lot of these places. And we're looking at doing like a mail order model because we've been told that getting on supermarket shelves is like nigh impossible. And you know, there are established businesses that still aren't there, so we're not aiming for a really, really tough market. We're aiming to be more sort of spread and generalized, and have multiple avenues. Mm. But we spoke to a number of people. We had paper surveys, so they were filled out, and we had a spreadsheet going, which was automatic through a Google thing. So we had to add to that, and we were worried, are we going to ruin our results by manually entering these things? But that was all good, because Google just adds another line at the bottom. Yeah. And I think actually our survey is still running. I did stop it with, we all have different social circles and stuff. So I've put the word out here and there, and I've updated them and said, we won, and thank you very much. But I think some of those circles just never stop. So they'll probably still be doing survey results in 20 years.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
It'll be something. I mean, you've always got to continually validate, right? So it wouldn't be a bad thing to be going back to your customers. But in the weekend, you guys had almost 200 responses?
Yeah, and it's still going up. Even when we were pitching, right before we were pitching, we checked the results, the number had shooted up already.
Oh, awesome.
And we were just like, oh, our figures on the slides are so wrong. So, we just talked about it.
I think
pitch.
We might have touched on a bit of a hot topic or a nerve, I don't know, with the community, because, it's about being eco-friendly and not putting harsh chemicals out there or in your house, down the drain, etc. And people are all over that.
Yeah,
totally.
And I think it's good because everyone cleans, essentially. So so everyone could fill in the survey. So it's pretty good.
So what sort of questions did you ask to validate your problem? I mean, actually, a better question to start with is what was the problem statement? What did you guys define as the problem?
Yeah, so the problem statement was that there are no eco-friendly, safe cleaning products out there that don't use plastic as their packaging. Mm-hmm. Even the eco-friendly type cleaning products out there still use plastic.
Sure.
So we wanted to try and solve that, and we recognised that 141 million tonnes of plastic packaging goes to the landfills and the oceans each year, so it's such a big number. And we really need to make a move to try and solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So off that statement, what questions were you then asking your customers?
So we're asking people what kind of whether they'd use an eco-friendly cleaning product, and I'm not too sure.
Some of the questions were what sort of container they go for, whether it's spray bottle or that sort of thing, or a soap bar or whatever. We asked some demographics, so we wanted to know whether they were male or female, what sort of age group they were, so we get an idea of who our potential target market was. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was kind of weird. The majority of our respondents over the weekend were male. The people who I'm sure they don't really clean, but they answer surveys, so hopefully that didn't skew the results too much.
Yeah.
But they were very interested in the product, and we also asked them questions about price point. Would they want to pay more or less? And a decent number of them were happy to pay a higher price.
Sure.
Because I mean, it's a big thing with products. You can make the cheapest product in the world, but if you sell it at that price point, there's a perception that you're not only cheap but no good.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of aim higher than you really want, because it has all these perceptions with it about what your product's like.
Mm-hmm. Humans are quite fallible in the way that they make those decisions in terms of willingness to pay. I remember
personally, I'll pay the bottom dollar any day. But.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of people are like that. But I do remember it's an anecdote exactly about what you're saying. I was in a philosophy class once, and they were talking about environmental philosophy and willingness to pay to save bird species. And they'd put out this question and basically asked to save all endangered bird species, how much would you spend? What do you think would be a reasonable amount to donate? And people came back with a figure, and I can't remember the exact figure off the top of my head, but let's just say $20, right? $20. And then they also asked similar segment of people to save this particular bird, right? This particular endangered bird. It might have been a type of penguin or whatever it was. To save this particular bird, what would you be willing to pay? And people came back with a figure that was higher, right? So let's say $30, right?
Yeah.
And in reality, the result of saving all endangered birds is way better. You should want to spend way more money on that than this one particular endangered species.
Mm.
But the way people think about money and the way that people think about product and value isn't necessarily always completely logical, right? So that's a really, really good point to have. So we've obviously led our audience on for a little while now. It's probably a good time for you guys to elevate a pitch what less is, how it works, and I guess why it's different to those other things on the market.
Yeah, okay. Well, so Less is a company formed at Startup Weekend. And basically we came up with the idea of a small tablet that can dissolve in water. Mm-hmm. So essentially we would be marketing a four pack of tablets, which equals 2 litres of cleaning solution, and that cleaning solution is multi-purpose. So you can use it anywhere. We even tested it on whiteboards, the surface, on our hands. During our pitch, we actually got one of the judges to autograph someone's phone screen.
That was so cool.
And it, thankfully it came off. So
we did practice this in advance. We knew it wasn't going to fail.
We're just trying to reduce that plastic packaging use. So people would be, they could buy a starter kit with a reusable spray bottle already, which we have displayed here, or they could just buy one in the shop and then they use that for forever. And then also the packaging that our tablets come in, you can use them as labels. So they fold outwards and then you stick it on the bottle and you can write whatever cleaning product you're going to use.
Awesome. Is this an example of
that? Yes, so that's just our prototype. So
okay.
One tablet came in that, and then we unfolded it, stuck it on the bottle, and then below that you could just write for the bathroom or for kitchen.
Yeah, so you don't mix up your bottles. Okay, really, really cool. I was really curious on how that works because I saw that in your pitch, but I didn't quite understand how it factored in. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's obviously the pitch now. With the way that the idea was, I guess, tabled on the Friday night, has quite a lot changed since Friday?
I came in a bit later, so maybe Matt can answer that question.
Well, we're definitely planning on pursuing it and following it through. So we've got a lot of people to see, a lot of decisions to make, and I mean just everything that there's the legal side, distribution, manufacturing. We're quite lucky in that the mentors that were provided over the startup weekend were amazing, and that they've given us some really solid advice. I think some of them are even in the industry of manufacturing and distribution.
David Cohen.
Yeah. So we might even end up ultimately contracting with one of them. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But they've also advised us not to jump on board with the first person that asks. So we have to basically sort ourselves out, organise properly, work out our ideas better, and I guess work on the IP a bit as well.
Sure.
And then we can start talking to potential investors and that sort of thing. But at all stages, we have to seek advice and also work together, document everything. I mean, it's just a huge process starting up a business. That's scary. I don't know that any of us, well, I mean, I've done some stuff, but I have no business background. I just wing it. And you can go a long way with just winging it. But when you're dealing with a physical product like this, it's a whole lot. It's a different ball game, and
there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally. So, riffing off what you spoke about in terms of mentorship, is there a particular moment or instance that you remember from the weekend where a mentor came in and was particularly helpful in terms of the direction that you ended up going in, or helping a particular problem?
Two of them were really keen on the product from an early stage and said that totally buy it, use it. And I think they even said that they'd invest in it. Of course, we didn't sign on the dotted line or anything, but that they were that keen on the product, that sort of sold on the idea.
Wow.
That we knew there was validation right there.
Yeah, totally.
One of the mentors actually, from the start, he said it was a great idea and he knew he wanted to get on board. And so when he was saying they had their mentor meeting, they got to pick which teams they wanted to mentor, and he shot his hand up for our one. So that was a good sign.
It's always a good sign.
Right until the end, he really supported us and we appreciate it. So.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So obviously that's an amazing result, especially the mentors saying that they might be keen on investing somewhere down the track.
Yeah.
Was that what you guys were both expecting going into Startup Weekend? How did what were you thinking on the Friday night, and how does that kind of line up with where you guys are at now?
Yeah. What?
Well, I really had no idea. So, that was one of the beauties of it, because I was completely new to it. it basically could go in any direction. And the important thing was to have fun. It doesn't matter if the idea is a complete flop or completely silly, or there's any other problem with it. It's all about having fun trying to solve the problems. A lot of the teams did this thing called pivoting, which basically means changing direction. And that's why we won the magnifying glass, because we stayed focused. We did not pivot. And one of the teams won a pair of flip-flops because they pivoted so much, I think they could have taken off.
That's right.
You just basically go there with your eyes wide open and prepare to tackle anything, and you're not going to be disappointed because that's exactly what's going to happen.
No expectations means no disappointment. I love it. Cool. Yeah. Was that much the same for yourself?
Well, I sort of didn't really know what Startup Weekend was, so I made sure beforehand I sort of went to the info night and talked to a few people and asked them what did you guys do, or how was your experience? And so coming in, I sort of knew how the process on the Friday night was going to work. But when I sat down, I was surprised about the amount of ideas and how many people actually showed up. So it took me by surprise. And then joining a team, I was just everyone had different ideas and it was just coming everywhere. So it's kind of overwhelming. But by the end of that, I was like, oh, maybe it's all about the team. Mm-hmm. It's not about the idea. So I think that was really reiterated throughout the whole night. So.
And another point along that line, I mean, I didn't know many people that were there. I knew a couple of them. And the people that I did know, I consider them to be top talent. Yeah, really, really good. And I probably felt that I wouldn't be able to compete with anything that they did. And we were up against 8 other teams, and we won. So it's really about the team cohesion, the idea being reason we both thought out in the first place, and just how you run with it. You don't have to be a leader in your field, or even on your A game on the weekend. It doesn't matter, so long as everyone pulls in the same direction.
Totally.
And you do your best.
So on that note of everyone pulling in the same direction, your team was pretty awesome. You had 2 chemists, which obviously turned out to be quite handy.
So good.
Were there any moments where you guys got frustrated with each other, or any particular moments that were low points during the weekend, or equally, any high points that you guys felt really successful as a team?
I think
other than obviously winning on Sunday night.
The only really low point, we were lucky, but the only really low point that we had was one of our team members had to disappear off because his partner was admitted to A&E, basically. I don't know what was wrong with her, but I told my wife that night, and she immediately said meningitis. And it could have been. It was super serious anyway.
They ended up
admitting, basically he wasn't allowed to leave because he'd had contact with her.
Okay.
So do we have an update? Is she okay?
Yep. So I think she's staying a couple of nights there.
Yeah.
So
that was a huge disruption to our team, just because we're still able to do stuff, but we're more concerned about a teammate than what we're doing.
Yeah. Totally. It was right before the pitch as well, and we really wanted him to, see everything and be part of it.
So now we have to Photoshop him in.
Yeah.
We'll get some video editing done on the live stream so he looks like he's on stage with you guys. That's hard.
I guess another low point for us was that Sunday morning. We didn't know that we had to do a 15-minute pitch in front of all the mentors. And so none of us had prepared anything. We didn't have a slide deck. No one wanted to pitch because we weren't ready. And then so we sort of pushed one of our team members to pitch because she had already been doing the pitches. And then afterwards, she was just not happy with
She wasn't feeling very well that day either. We were doing all these things, sort of being completely unprepared and feeling like crap, but we did it anyway. It wasn't our best pitch, but
we set very low standards. So when we came back for the next practice pitch, they were impressed because we had a product ready, we had a slide deck, and we had more than one person pitching. So
I think
it was a big growth from the morning to the afternoon.
It's one of those things that's I guess hard. In something like this, but it's the reason it works so well is it pushes you outside your comfort zone because you're running low on sleep.
Exactly.
Some things get thrown at you that you're not expecting, and then how you guys handle that as a team is really important. So it's really impressive that you guys managed to stick to it and stay so positive. Through all of that stuff.
And we got feedback from one of the judges after the event too. All of the teams did from that particular judge. And I don't know if he said this to every team, but he did say it was the best pitch of the night. So I'm sure he said it to everyone. But the feedback was really, really good. And, you know, there was just so much information to take away from the weekend in all kinds of directions and directions we wouldn't normally expect. I mean, you don't expect to have feedback like that from any of the judges. It's just a case of they come, that they give you a score, you never really hear what your score is. Mm-hmm. And you either win or you lose.
Yeah.
But no, we had feedback from a judge. That was awesome.
I think also throughout the day, the food that you guys provided, the catering service, I can't remember their name exactly.
Abdel's Catering?
Yeah, the snacks that really kept us going through the day. And then also taking breaks to see what the other teams were doing was also great to see as well.
Yeah, I had a bit of a chuckle actually with the food because, I mean, you know, the chef's food was amazing. The first night I was a little bit worried because it was pizza and I was going, hang on, this doesn't sound like what was advertised. then you know, the lunch snacks, you know, there was fresh fruit and stuff and there was nut bars and I thought, nut bars, this is absolutely appropriate. We're all a bunch of nuts.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I hadn't eaten much Middle Eastern food before the weekend myself, and I was so impressed with what he pulled off, especially because the scale of people he was cooking for.
I snuck a little doggy bag home and the wife had some.
Me too.
And she really liked it. I grabbed his business card too.
Yeah, same here. Took some to the flatmates. They ate it all up straight away.
Of course they did.
Like, did you save me some? No.
We'll make sure we link his catering business in the description for anyone that's interested. I want to touch on a kind of bit of a personal note for you both. Obviously, it's only been a day and a half since Startup Weekend ended. Have you had a chance to reflect on what you personally took away from the experience? Other than obviously the amazing food that we had throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I came away with it with a bunch of new friends. And the worst part of it for me was I didn't really do much with social media. Now I have to.
Okay.
So there's that. But it's just, you know, we can now do something, you know, new and interesting that's different from our day-to-day lives and have some new friends to do it with. So,
awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's actually sunk in yet.
Yeah.
So I think, like, startup has really taught me a lot in terms of market validation and how important it is, who you should network with, and, you know, everyone's important. You might need them in the future, you never know. 100%. So I got a lot of LinkedIn connections out of that weekend, which is great, as well as friends, of course. And, yeah, like, I didn't know which sort of direction I was going to go with business, but I think I sort of know now that, you know, startups is probably where I want to be at. And I've even considered doing like a master's in entrepreneurship, and one of my lecturers is actually who runs that program was actually at the Startup Weekend, so he's trying to convince me throughout that weekend. But if this company goes successful, I think I would stick with that and then apply all my theory that I've just learned. And
totally. Yeah. So what is it that you enjoy about startup? What's the thrill?
I think it's the environment, you know, that pressure where you have to sit down and knock it out in 54 hours. There's nothing like that. And it's just, you know, you've got to work to a deadline and come up with something. So if you put your head down and, like, just focus, it all comes at you. If you're just really working on that one idea. And also the team dynamic is the best, I think. I think just meeting everyone and seeing where all their creativity and their ideas are coming from has been so good. And it's been such a good opportunity.
Awesome. Mm. Awesome. So bit of a change of tack now. If you could give somebody a Startup Weekend ticket, if there was someone else that you think should come and do the weekend, is there a particular type of person or someone that comes to mind that you think should come along to a Startup Weekend?
I do have someone in mind, actually, and he wouldn't appreciate one little bit, and that's my eldest son, because he really needs to be taken out of his comfort zone, and that's what this whole weekend is really good at. It's kind of a core value. But, I don't know that it would work. I mean, he's a bit of a challenge, but he's the sort of person that I think needs to do these things because it's like a flash taste of real life, kind of. If I couldn't give it to him, then I think probably my youngest son, because he's the successful son of the family. he's been studying law for 2 years. He hasn't been able to get in because law's really, really tough to, you know, make the cut.
Sure.
He'll try his hand at anything, and I'm sure having a go at starting up a business, real or fake, would be right up his alley.
Yeah, totally. And it is a taste of real life, like what you said. I think I remember my first startup experience was like that. I was still at university.
Yeah.
I hadn't really done anything in business or in the real world before, and for me it gave me really clear direction and purpose in terms of this is what I love, this is what I enjoy, this is the stuff that I'm probably going to try to avoid further down the track.
Yeah. And also with the startup weekend, I mean, when I graduated back in 98, I don't know that there was programs like this. There's so much that's changed since I went through university and polytech. And so, I mean, I did this because it's something I'd never done before. And, you know, I could go through the rest of my life having not done this and never really know what I've missed out on.
Totally.
I mean, even like the facilities here were amazing. I watched them being built. So, and a funny little thing for you. One of the other teams sort of featured interviewing older people, and I noticed they grabbed one of the mentors because he had grey hair.
We won't say who.
And they mentioned that he was sort of in his 40s, and I went, I'm older than he is. I'm in my 50s.
I think I spoke to that team, and they were struggling to get someone at short notice. And I think they went for the lowest hanging fruit in the room, which happened to be
our
40-year-old friend. I still give them stick about it afterwards. That was pretty funny. They of course got a prize sponsored for them by Age Concern on Sunday night, which was the Specsavers glasses to help them.
Actually, I wasn't sure about that because, I mean, all of those prizes were kind of joke prizes, and I wasn't sure if the sponsors were also
The sponsors were jokes as well. No, Age Concern wasn't actually involved in the weekend.
I'm just joking.
They were all jokes as well, just a bit of fun on that Sunday night. Something to break it up and obviously give our judges some time to deliberate. Cool. How about yourself? Anybody that you think should do Startup Weekend?
I think the best thing about Startup Weekend is that you don't have to be like a business person. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a developer or have any experience in that field at all. Like, I met a nurse, I met a mother of three, I met so many different people, diverse range, and they all just came to see the experience and see where it would take them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of them, they were very surprised with what they came out with. So I think that's what's been very, very good with Startup Weekend, that is that anyone can join. And I think I remember reading that as young as like 12 years old has like joined, and as old as, very old, has been able to join. So it's just open to everyone. So
And also, you know, that there's pigeonholes. Like, I'm technical, and that there's general, there's creative. I'm not sure some of the other ones, but I mean, I knew one of the guys there, and he's more technical than me. He works for Ubuntu. You know, they make an operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And he went there, and his little lanyard said general.
Yeah, I think I know the guy you're talking about, and I think he intentionally did that because he didn't want to spend a whole lot of time developing during the weekend.
You can intentionally do that. You don't have to go there representing the skill that's your 9-to-5. You can go there as anything else, really.
And chances are you're going to do something that doesn't fall within your skill set.
Exactly. No.
Because you're a small team, you've got a short amount of time, and you've got to cover all those gaps.
Yeah.
So.
And I think to a large degree, everyone's a generalist anyway.
Yeah.
And you have to go there and be prepared to wear a number of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, definitely. So a question for Les. Is there somebody that's famous that you guys would like to recruit to your team? For example, Live Green, which is a company that was in the Distiller last year, gave two answers. They said Leonardo DiCaprio because of his values with sustainability and obviously the huge profile that he'd be able to offer. And then they also said Richard Branson for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
Have all of his experience as an entrepreneur building companies could be quite useful in the early stages. Is there anyone that comes to mind for you guys?
Well, I can think of someone who I wouldn't want.
We won't mention them.
No, but he has a boring company.
Okay.
It's actually called that.
Yeah, I know.
You probably know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about. The one with the flamethrowers. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts, I guess. I mean, Richard Branson, because he's got loads of money. But the trouble with famous people is they want to take it over and twist it and improve their fame.
I hope I don't get famous because I might be loved in this category.
Yeah. So, I mean, having someone famous involved can work against you.
Yeah, totally.
I think someone who's got a very driven passion about sustainability would be nice.
Yeah.
They don't have to necessarily be famous. Mm-hmm. I think someone who, you know, is in that field and can really push this idea and probably like help us, Yeah.
There's a number of people in the Dunedin community that fit that bill. I mean, I'm thinking of a name right now, Maureen Howard. I forgot her name. Surname correct, I'm always getting it wrong, but I mean, she's sort of the local sort of I don't know if you call it an eco warrior, but she's mm-hmm. she's into sustainability, and she's got a show here, or at least used to, I don't know about now. There's lots of local people that would absolutely be into what we're doing, at least behind the idea, if not behind it in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Cool, awesome. So one of the stats that comes out of Startup Weekend is that only about 12% of the companies that form over the weekend end up continuing past that point. You guys are obviously thinking about carrying on. Are there any steps coming up? Is there anything that our audience should know about when they should start looking out for you guys? Have you guys had that chat yet? It's obviously still a little bit fresh.
Yeah. Well, most of our team are dispersed everywhere around the South Island. So we've got someone in Clinton and someone up north. So I guess it's finding the time to meet up together, making sure everyone wants to continue and seeing where that leads us. We've actually talked to some, well, we've had some mentors approach us to talk about restructuring the company and making sure it's very refined. So we're set to go into the market when we're ready. And then I think our chemists are going to work on actually developing an actual product that is compressed into the tablet properly. Just because at 54 hours we had to make do and, you know, just use what we had.
It was a bit like Breaking Bad around your table.
Yeah, I think the next step is to make sure everyone's on board.
Everyone's on board,
set a direction that we're all confident in. And yeah.
Cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, because we're so spread out, keeping in touch is the big thing at the moment. And we're sort of looking at switching to a different platform from what we're on at the moment, because the trouble is what we have right now is just one big conversation. It's kind of like a great big text thing. And bits and pieces sort of end up further and further back, and it needs a bit more organisation.
Have you got any ideas of what you're going to use organisation-wise?
There's a number of platforms. I mean, me being IT, I use all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And any of them would be appropriate, really. I think, like, for some stuff, things like there's an application I use called Evernote. If we want to keep, like, actual notes and keep them secure, and, you know, because we could fire up a forum or something, but they can have all kinds of security concerns.
Sure.
It's much better to use an established platform that's you know it's secure. You can control who
like your Slack, like your Trello, Google Drive.
So spinning up your own is great, but I think you're much better to go with something established.
Something established, sure.
Yeah, because at the moment we're just using Facebook Messenger.
So yeah, okay.
It's like we need to use either Slack or Trello.
Well, Slack's great because you can have those threads when people reply.
And also startups sort of taught us how to use Slack already, so it's been good.
Totally. There's one last question that I had, and obviously if there's anything else that you guys want to talk about, that's cool. But I was going to ask if you guys could time travel back to Friday night and give yourselves a piece of advice, of advice on that Friday before going into Startup Weekend, what would you tell yourselves?
Oh, well, that's easy. Stand up and give that bloody pitch.
Nice. So that's you wish on the Friday night or the Sunday night that you would have in the chat?
Well, I mean, I had instant regrets of not standing up. I thought about sneaking to the back of the line. I didn't want to be still standing at the back of the line when it was a really long line. But I guess it's in part because I only really had a few days to even get my head in the right space. So I wasn't coming into it with any sort of clear ideas. I mean, I certainly have some things that I'd like to pursue. But, I mean, one of the pieces of advice was don't pitch an idea that you're either actively doing or, you know, I forget exactly how the advice went, but basically if you're worried about your idea being stolen or something like that, you want to keep it to yourself, don't pitch it.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of went down that route and keeping all my secrets.
I think I would have told myself to join Leiden's Love Potions, which was our formerly known name.
Yeah.
On the Friday night, I should have joined their team from the get-go. But I'm glad that I, you know, ended up in their team anyway.
And it's part of the experience.
Yeah, and I met the other two groups were great. They were so nice. We're all friends now, so that's good. And they don't hate me for leaving. I actually had one of the groups ask me to come back to their team when I joined Less.
Yeah, we had to fend them off.
Yeah, got to be loyal.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, guys, that concludes all of the questions that I had today. If you want to hear more from our amazing founders, experts, people that are doing wonderful things in our community, then please subscribe to us on all platforms. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Anchor. Obviously, there's going to be written audio, video that all comes out of this podcast. So if you guys want to hear more about these amazing stories, things like Startup Weekend, some of our founders that have progressed a little bit further than 3 days, subscribe to us on all platforms, and we'll see you guys later.